Radio free readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Fellow patriots and redoubters, my liberty-loving, God-fearing brothers and sisters, I'm John Jacob Schmidt, your host, and you're tuned in to Radio Free Redoubt. I hope you all had a blessed week. We've got a lot to cover tonight, and I want to make sure I can get all of it in under an hour. We've got a special guest interview coming up in segment two, and I want to make sure we leave a lot of time available to discuss some of the things that I think are timely and some of the things that you've been asking about. Some important stuff about the need for godly men, godly leaders, and godly guidance for dealing with the turbulent times that are coming up ahead in our future. They're exciting times, though. Welcome to our new Redoubters, members of the ARN, the American Redoubt Network. Special Agent Chloe did an awesome job of getting all those new member profiles all uploaded. And you should be receiving your, or should have already received your, welcome to the ARN email, and should have full access now to the member side of the website, as well as the ARN member forum. And that's a separate forum than the one that's on the website, of course. So good job, Chloe. That member map looks amazing. I can't believe how full that's getting. But that's because we're growing and the American Redoubt movement is bursting at the seams. Hey, you know CampingSurvival.com is the normal segment sponsor for the news and commentary segment. And we'll get to that in just a second. But Tom from over there at CampingSurvival.com sent over an announcement of some new products they're now carrying. And they are on sale for a limited time as an introductory sale price. And he asked if we'd help him get the word out. And we said we'd be happy to. So there's three items to list. And those are also available in links. Future Essentials Canned Organic Green Costa Rican Monte Cristo Coffee Beans. Those are in number 10 cans. For long-term storage, 15 to 20-year shelf life. Future Essentials Long Grain White Rice, 15-year shelf life. And those are number 10 cans. And here's kind of a cool thing. Beats the snot out of those little Costco 5-gallon pails. Survive to Thrive 40 Days 100% Organic Food Supply. And that is all self-contained. Those links to all those products are in links at on the highlights and resources posting, and there is a video too that I put on there that you can read up about that covers the Survive to Thrive 40 Days and Nights food supply. They kind of do a little demo on that, so you can take a look at those. They're all on sale right now, and that's a $130 savings for 40 days worth of food for one person. Pretty good. Check them out at survivalcamping.com. Or just click on those product links there on the highlights and resources posting for today's show. This is episode 1231. And now, news and current events on things that could affect you as liberty-loving, God-fearing patriots, whether you're already in the American Redoubt, or you're on your way, or trapped in occupied America. Right out of the American Redoubt, Montana ranchers compete with out-of-state buyers for hay. Hey, prices are going up because of the drought that we've been having in the Midwest, and prices for feed for livestock is going through the roof. And, of course, they're paying top dollar to have that stuff shipped out, which makes our prices here a little bit higher. And word's out that, man, you can buy livestock really cheap right now because it's so expensive to feed them. Of course, we know what that's going to mean in the future. It's going to drive the price of meat through the roof. other American Redoubt news, in the national news, you guys hear about the extortion that the Labor Department did, dropping the hammer on Oregon farmers. Several of these news articles were compiled by Special Agent Morgan Ryder. Oregon farmers and state officials are furious with the U.S. Department of Labor, or the Labor Department, after federal authorities in July put a hold on thousands of dollars worth of blueberries, citing widespread record-keeping and minimum wage violations. The department invoked a hot goods provision of labor law that prohibited shipment of the berries, so they can probably just sit there and rot, right? Labor officials also notified wholesalers that berries from the farms would be subject to the order and should not be processed or shipped because they're trying to enforce the labor laws, right? Except, why do we call this extortion? Here is what's got members of Oregon's congressional delegation and the Oregon Farm Bureau particularly disturbed. The federal agency told the farmers that they could make everything go away if they paid a fine and back wages and sign a consent judgment admitting wrong and agreeing not to contest the order, even if subsequent information exonerated the farms. Wow. Of course, we know there's a lot of stuff going on with the West Nile virus right now. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, states that the case of West Nile virus are raising to the point of having the largest outbreak ever seen in the domestic U.S. In total, the CDC is reporting 1,118 cases with 41 deaths. So what are they doing about it? They are spraying toxic chemicals all over the cities so that thousands can get sick instead of just hundreds. Massive federal debt, Obama's real legacy, $10 trillion in new federal debt over just 4 years. That's not really new news. But as Election Day nears, Americans certainly have some sobering choices to make. Whoever wins the White House has a monumental fiscal crisis to deal with, one that makes losses incurred during the Great Recession of 2008 look like pocket change. And of course, there's a lot of people have been saying that. No matter who gets in there, whether it's the right boot on your throat or the left boot on your throat, we are heading towards some serious economic trouble. Let's see what else we got here. Al Gore calls for an end to the Electoral College. Yeah, he wishes. They just want to change the Constitution and change everything. Of course, they're fundamentally changing everything. And that's their goal. Here's a cool story. Colorado University. Professors have no right to cancel classes over gun-carrying students. And then the chancellor notifies the faculty that they could face disciplinary action. Well, basically, the leadership of this, the Colorado University Boulder, said that students who with concealed weapons permits who are carrying guns does not give the instructors the right to cancel classes. And they also said that if any instructor is found to cancel classes because of that, they could face disciplinary action. Now, there's the pendulum swinging in the right direction. California driver's license bill passed. Of course, you guys probably heard about that. So that illegal aliens can now get their driver's licenses. Here's a good one. This was from The Blaze. Republican voters often agree with me, Obama says. Republican voters, if you ask them about my particular policy positions, often agree with me, he said. So there's a difference between Republicans in Washington and Republicans and Republican-leaning voters around the country. Well, he's right. There is definitely a difference between Republicans in Washington and the Republicans that are across the rest of the country, but not in the way that he thinks. He says he'd been asked how he would talk differently to Republicans if reelected in November. He says, I think that after this election, we'll be in a position to once again reach out to Republicans and say that the American people have rendered a judgment. That's the part that scares me about this guy getting, I mean, I got a serious problem with Mitt Romney, but this guy saying, hey, if I get reelected, then America will have rendered a judgment. What is that judgment in his mind? It's an approval of all of his policies. He says that, and also that the positions we're taking are well within what used to be considered bipartisan centrist approaches. I'm tired of bipartisanship. We should be standing our ground and not giving an inch. He said that his approach has been pretty consistent from the start. He said he's proposed solutions that were once embraced by Republicans. Well, that's misleading. It's not embraced by the Republicans. He's instituting policies that were embraced by some Republicans. And what I mean is this. He says, there's no better example than the health care bill, which was designed originally by the now Republican standard bearer, talking about Mitt Romney, and is working pretty well in Massachusetts, Obama said. The Recovery Act that helped us avoid a depression, a third of it was tax cuts. My hope is that the Republican Party, post-election, steps back and says, now that we're not so worried about beating the president, maybe we should spend a little time focusing on solving the problems. Well, Mr. President, one of the problems that we're focusing on right now is that you are in the White House. You are one of the problems. So beating the president is at the top of our list. You've done more to destroy this country than any other president in history. And it just saddens me that we got to the point where half the country is approving of having a Marxist in the White House. But he does speak the truth here. Obama insisted he's not the one who's changed during his time in office. It's the Republican Party that has shifted. And he says, what's changed is not me. What's changed is where the Republican Party's gone, he said. In fact, a lot of things I've done are the things that Mr. Romney, when he was governor of Massachusetts, seemed to promote. He's right. I talked about this a few weeks ago. Mitt Romney's he's the one that pushed through Romney Care in Massachusetts, which is one of the programs that Obama modeled Obamacare after. That's why I say, what difference does it make whether you got the right boot or the left boot on your throat? So he's telling the truth. He hasn't changed since he's been in office. He's the same Marxist that he was the day he lifted his right hand. He hasn't changed. He said he's going to fundamentally change America, and that he's doing it. He's a man of his word. You guys heard about the state of Alaska is going to be stockpiling mass amounts of food and supplies in giant warehouses. They're building two giant warehouses in anticipation of some future event where food supply routes are disrupted going into Alaska. That was over there at stuffhitsthefanplan.com. And that's pretty much it. I'm going to break it off because I want to make sure we got enough time. We're probably going to run over just a little bit anyway, but I'm going to try not to. So let's go ahead and take a break. Hey, also, a quick announcement. The New Capitalist Papers website is up and operational. Very strong patriot publication. Very Tea Party-esque, Tea Party-centric type of articles. Conservative, patriotic. Great stuff. And it's published and brought to you out of the American Redoubt. So go check out that new site at www.capitalistpapers.com. We'll provide a link for you in the Highlights and Resources page. All right, stay right there. You're listening to Radio Free Redoubt.
Please remember to support local businesses whenever you have a choice, especially support Patriot-owned businesses. This will strengthen the American Redoubt. Look for businesses that advertise in conservative publications or in church or Christian business directories. Of course, we all need accountability, so don't neglect to check references and get competing bids when appropriate.
I love the liberty found in the spirit of America, and that's why I love America. But what do I have left when the liberty vanishes from America? It is just soil, like the soil that can be found anywhere else on earth. Benjamin Franklin said, "Where liberty is, there is my country." And 2 Corinthians 3:17 states, "Now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Well, that's interesting. Now, put the two together. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And where liberty is, there is my country. Did you really think removing God from this nation would come without a price? I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Have you been searching for a time-proven way to protect your valuables and your loved ones? Rainy Day Root Cellars has the solution. Whether you need safe shelter from a storm, secure protection for your belongings, or a perfect place for your food storage, Rainy Day Root Cellars provides you and your family with the ultimate in discreet and secure protection. Visit them today at www.rainydayrootsellers.com. Rainy Day Root Sellers, security you can count on.
I've been walking a tightrope between fact and fiction. Been wrestling with demons in small bottle prisons. Been talking to sinners who claim to be Christian. Been shouting at leaders who claim to be listening. And the pendulum swings from the left to the right.
All right, we're back. You're listening to the John Jacob Schmidt Show on Radio Free Redoubt, the voice of the American Redoubt, the voice of liberty. A message of encouragement in a discouraging world. It's a message of hope in a seemingly hopeless world. Now, you might be asking, as you see your country, your values and your heritage and your economy eroding, where is all the hope in all of that? Well, there is hope in spite of all that. Our hope is in the Lord, of course, the same thing the American Founding Fathers placed their hope in, but one thing we know from history and the Bible, God always uses men and women to carry out his perfect will and his perfect plan. There's hope because there are godly men willing to humble themselves and willing to do his will, God-fearing patriots who cherish and know the true meaning of liberty. And that's why today's show is titled The Need for Godly Men, Godly Leaders, Godly Guidance. And we're just scratching the surface. God is preparing godly men and women right now for the days ahead. We're joined today by one of those men. John Beale is the founder of bywhatstandard.org. It's a ministry designed to educate Christians in history and our American heritage, and to look at the events that are unfolding in our nation and across the globe through a biblical lens. A biblical worldview of yesterday, of today, and what we'll be dealing with tomorrow. So, John, it's great to have you with us. Welcome.
Thank you very much, John. It's great to be with you.
Now, I was really looking forward to getting you on the air, and I know this is really short notice, so thanks so much for stepping up. A fellow redoubter and a oath keeper forwarded on an email to some things that are going on that you're directly involved in. And so I thought it's something that we definitely want to share with our listeners because it's really timely. And we'll get to kind of the meat of the email that he was talking about with a guest speaker that's going to be coming to town. But you're central in that as far as facilitating the whole thing, and you have your own ministry. So can you just, for the listeners, give us a brief overview of bywhatstandard.org, what that's all about, what your mission statement is, and some of your goals?
Sure, John. Thank you. And I would like to also introduce myself, just for the benefit of your listeners, give them a more comprehensive understanding of where we're coming from and where we are and where we intend to go and how we intend to get there. I am also the Northwest Director for the Institute on the Constitution. Our headquarters are back east, and you can find that information at iotconline.org. And also Northwest Director for the Plymouth Rock Foundation, which again is back east, and you can find that at plymrock.org, plymrock.org, and iotconline.org. .com, I believe. I think I might have said org, but it's com. So iotconline.com. These are the organizations I represent because my spirit and my mind, my understanding of things are so compatible with the brethren that have initiated and developed these ministries. As a matter of fact, Russ Walton, who started the Plymouth Rock Foundation, was one of my mentors. Russ has long since passed away. But he was a very skilled speechwriter for Ronald Reagan when Reagan was governor in California, and a longtime Christian activist, a very humble servant of D. James Kennedy and his organization in Florida, and served many other organizations behind the scenes, and developed just a wonderful program at Plymouth Rock Foundation that is now overseen by Dr. Paul Chaley. Some of your listeners may recognize that name, Paul
sure.
Chaley. Anyway, my blog has emerged from activity that actually commenced in about 1987 here in, I had moved up here to Spokane, Washington from Portland, Oregon. And the purpose of the move was simply to find a more positive, more possible context or environment in which to apply the principles I had been learning. In other words, instead of taking the United States back to a Christian constitutional republic via Washington, D.C., I decided that was too big a bite, and I would take the counties up here in Spokane, so there's a better chance here than in Portland, Oregon. And one of the studies that I presented to the community is called Institute on the Constitution, and I provided that information, which consisted of 12 half-hour lectures by retired Lieutenant Colonel John Eidsmo, Air Force, and constitutional scholar and professor back at Thomas Good University back in Alabama, Thomas Good Jones. And John had been a friend of mine and a friend of Plymouth Rock Foundation. He put together a very, very well-organized, very skilled, very humble, very responsible presentation on the Constitution and Christianity. And the whole idea that our constitutional republic was based on biblical principles of self and civil government. So I presented that to the best of my ability in the community and recognized that one of the hardest areas to infiltrate was the church itself. I had assumed, of course, the obvious, that the church, being the pillar and ground of truth, should be the first field of battle, and it was a bigger battle than I anticipated, as most of the church resisted.
Yes.
The link between Christianity and law that is in the civil sphere.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I just think they're afraid of it. It's a higher calling. It's a greater requirement. It's easy to translate the Bible into what many have referred to as just greasy grace, or a way that is without any conflict or without any difficulty. That's the nature of human beings, and it's their inclination is, of course, to find the easiest way to live out what they believe to be a legitimate faith and to escape our past. Lots of Christians believe in evolution versus creationism. Lots of them believe in evolutionary jurisprudence. They believe the law is evolving as man is becoming more informed and more educated and more enlightened and more progressive. We have moved away from the founding fathers. After all, they were all slave owners and probably beat their wives as well. And so, therefore, they're not valid. They're not legitimate in today's environment.
Right.
I think many Christians, as is becoming more and more common knowledge, lack a biblical worldview. That is, they may love God in their own way. They may believe in the Bible as authority, as an authority. But they have not loved God with their mind. They have not developed a biblical worldview. And consequently, they don't understand that God's word is for all of life. Matthew 4:4, Jesus says that all scripture is for the government of man. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that's for all of his life, not just his church life, not just his family life, not just his moral life. But it's his economic life, it's his banking life, it's his educational life, it's his philosophy, it's his understanding of man and sin and God and authority and the future.
And those are the standards.
Law, government. All these things are addressed by God's word, and most Christians are ignorant of that fact.
And that's the standard that we're moving farther away from in our country, not just on the secular side. That's what you expect from secular leaders or secular culture, but within our church. And we were warned about that, though.
We have been warned, and one of the problems is right there in just the word you use, secular. Christians have bought into the lie that there are essentially two minds or at least two faiths, or there may be a faith or two or three, and then there's such a thing as no faith. Or what I call Rodney King theology, if you remember who Rodney King was.
Oh, yes.
His famous quote, "Can't we all just get along?"
Right.
Jesus said, there is no such thing as neutral ground. You're either for me or you're against me. You are either gathering with me or you are scattering. And I'm afraid people think there is such a thing as a secular mind that is devoid of a faith, but it's not true. Everybody believes in some ultimate authority.
Right.
Everybody has some theology, though they might not identify it as that. Everybody believes in some God. And whatever law governs that culture, that's a reflection of the authority or the deity that they're worshiping.
So what do you think that the deity is today?
Well, of course, it's self. I mean, that's pretty easily identifiable, that it's self. And
sure.
Me, myself, and I, the great trinity of that religion. And essentially, it's we live for ourselves, and everything is developed and designed for us and our ultimate happiness. We even interpret life, liberty, and happiness that way instead of life, liberty, and property, as Madison put it. And understanding what these words mean, that's one of the quests of the blog, or one of the efforts of my blog. I subtitle that, By What Standard Is Nullifying Tyranny Inside and Out?
Yes.
And that means that man, all men, are governed by either Christ or Satan, ultimately.
Right.
They are either redeemed by the blood of Christ, they are purchased by Christ to be his possession, or they remain in their sins. And another word for sin is, of course, lawlessness and transgression. So our message is that man must be governed from within, and in order to be so, he must allow Christ to take up occupancy in his heart and in his mind and in his affections and his will and his emotions.
Yeah.
Because Christ is the governor of the universe. He is the only sovereign. Now, the fathers saw this. They understood this. And even when you take something like the laws of nature, and of course the rest is and nature's God, but they, to a man, quoted Blackstone, believed wholeheartedly in Blackstone's position on the matter that the laws of nature reflect the laws of God.
Yes.
And all legislation must conform to the laws of God, or it is as no law.
Right.
So, for instance, in my classes, and this will illustrate and help everybody considerably, in my classes, I will ask people, is abortion legal? And, of course, everybody will say, yes, it is. And I'll ask, is it lawful? And you get that quizzical expression.
Mm-hmm.
And people begin to, their eyes dart about, and you realize they're on shaky ground. They don't know. They're not sure.
Right.
And what am I after in the question? Well, of course, I'm after the fact that it was legalized in Roe v. Wade. But it's not lawful before God Almighty to kill a child.
Yeah.
And so that particular law, Supreme Court judgment, according to Blackstone and the founders, and John Locke said this many times, that it is as no law. It is not to be acknowledged as or accepted as a law.
Yeah.
And here we are. Now we've moved the next step where we're now going to consciously finance it and support the murdering of children. And, of course, euthanasia is knocking at the door.
Right. One of the things that you'd mentioned, just to go back just a couple minutes here, you'd mentioned that the self is becoming the deity of today. And when I think of, you know, who we worship, who provides for us, I think we've kind of moved past the point where we're worshiping ourselves as in the sense that we look to ourselves to provide for our own needs and dismiss the need for God because we can do it ourselves. We've moved past that almost to where, or not almost, but where we're not even providing for ourselves. We look to the state. And I see statism as the new God, as the almighty provider of the people in this culture.
You're absolutely right, John. Statism is idolatry. And it follows the worship of self. It always starts with self, and then
yes.
It goes into the collective. So you now have, you're absolutely correct, people are putting more trust in the state than they are in Almighty God. And consequently, you have Christ saying, render to Caesar what is Caesar's, which legitimizes a state, by the way. before that statement, there was no legitimization of the state. It was just tyranny and dictatorships, and it was power. But Lord Acton pointed that out, that when Christ said, render to Caesar what is Caesar's, Caesar has some authority. Absolutely, has some biblical designated authority.
Yes.
But it goes on to say, and render to God what is God's. Most Christians, most conservatives, do not know the difference between the two.
Right. That's because they don't know their word. They don't know their Bible.
That's a confusion of jurisdictions, which eventuates in a false worship or idolatry. And you can, as I said, there's no neutral ground. You have to go one way or the other. Either you move towards Christ or you move towards Caesar.
Right.
And we are definitely moving towards Caesar in leaps and bounds.
Well, and what you're doing is educating people. You're getting down to the...
We're educating people. We're after the internal. We believe that self-government has to be the place of initiation, that self-government first, then family government, then church government, and then civil government. So inside out, bottom up. And we have people in the conservative and Tea Party and Christian communities that haven't got it right with self-government.
Right.
I mean, they don't have their own being in order yet. Now, they don't have their own households in order. They're telling they're condemning Obama for the national debt that they themselves are in debt.
That's right.
Well, that subjects them to tyranny, and that's not their calling. People are designed for freedom, but that freedom has to come God's way, and can't come any other way. You can't turn to the government to free you and to provide you with security. You know, Franklin said anybody who would exchange his liberty for security deserves neither.
And to do it without God, none of it's going to happen. Because after the wall fell in Berlin, and of course the Soviet Union disintegrated, they decided to try the Western capitalist model and follow what the United States has done. And they tried putting the formula together, but they didn't include God, the most essential ingredient. And they can't figure out why it all slipped through their fingers and they couldn't duplicate what America had.
You're so correct. You're so right. And see, in a democracy, the people are God, or they think they are.
Right.
I mean, obviously, there's an oligarchy behind the scenes, but and tyranny too. But in a republic, it's the rule of law.
Yes.
And when John Adams, by the way, when he received his first copy of the Constitution, he wasn't at the convention in 1787, but he received a copy to read the Constitution after it was completed. And he said, upon reading it, he said, this Constitution is written for religious and moral people and is wholly inadequate for the government of any other.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I've quoted that before, and I was just going to mention it again, because what you're talking about is ruling yourself first. That Constitution was designed to rule over a nation of men who are ruling themselves. And so the argument to return to the Constitution is null and void if we don't return to God, the foundation of the Constitution, in the first place. It's not going to work.
It's not going to work.
Amazing.
It's not going to work. It is legislation. It is salvation by legislation.
Yes.
Which is the oldest heresy known to man.
Right.
Salvation is by grace. It is not by legislation. And so you get the document back in everybody's hand, and we all memorize it, and we all subscribe to it. Right now, I mean, what man out there, not many, if any, other than Ron Paul maybe, understand the significance of an oath?
That's right.
And when they put their hand on that Bible and raise that other hand, they don't even for a minute think that they're invoking the wrath of God by their disobedience to that written Constitution.
So we need to be raising up godly men, godly leaders. We need to be informing the body of believers right now that are tomorrow's patriots, or today's patriots, tomorrow's leaders, for the rebuilding process. And I want to talk about, we're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, I want to talk about some of the classes that you're offering. And then also this pastor that's going to be coming into the American Redoubt to talk exactly about some of the mechanics of how to make that happen. And this is a great conversation. I'm looking forward to doing more of it here in just a moment.
Okay, John. I'll be here.
Okay. This is John Jacob Schmidt. You're listening to the Voice of the American Redoubt. Stay right there.
Attention. 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 Stand by for message. The road is lined with yellow stones. Again. The road is lined with yellow stones. Rufus has three tails. Rufus has three tails. End of message.
We are eternally grateful to all our heroes, past and present, who have sworn to protect and defend our nation and our Constitution. Thank you for keeping your word. Thank you, Oath Keepers.
If you serve your country, either in law enforcement or in the military, and you are a patriot, love liberty, and want to do your part in preserving what made America great and free, join Oath Keepers today.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, The Way I See It. It was a wonderful 4th of July, honoring the sacrifices of those who gave us a chance at freedom 233 years ago, which is why I want to tell you the story of the deciding vote for independence, a hero by the name of Caesar Rodney. Caesar Rodney was a Delaware delegate to the Continental Congress in 1776. After debating for months about independence, the president, John Hancock, called for a vote on July 1st. Those present decided that the vote would have to be unanimous, all colonies voting for the declaration. The tally of that first vote was 9-4, 2 against, 1 abstaining, and 1 tie. Delaware had 1 delegate for and 1 delegate against. John Hancock decided that they would have one more vote just after lunch the following day. If the vote failed, they would all go home. Anticipating another Delaware split, an express rider was dispatched to Dover to fetch Caesar Rodney. The rider arrived just after midnight. Caesar got dressed and saddled his horse for the 70-mile ride to Philadelphia. On a normal day, this would have been a difficult ride, but that night was especially treacherous. A massive thunderstorm turned the dirt road into a quagmire, and Caesar arrived in Philadelphia just after 1 p.m., covered head to toe in mud and so weak from the journey, two men had to carry him into Independence Hall. The vote had already started, with 11 colonies voting for independence, New York abstaining, and Delaware again split. As Caesar Rodney was carried through the door, John Hancock looked up and asked, "Mr. Rodney, how do you vote?" Very quietly, he replied, "It is the sentiments of my countrymen for independence, so I vote aye for independence." But the story continues. Caesar Rodney was suffering from a disfiguring cancer of the jaw and knew that by casting a yes vote, the English would immediately invade, crushing any hope of seeing a doctor in England. He consciously decided to lay down his life for his country. Would we sacrifice our lives for freedom? What kind of patriots are we? We should be like Caesar Rodney. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening.
All right, thanks for sticking around. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and you're listening to Radio Free Redoubt. We're going into segment 3 here on episode 1231, the 31st broadcast of 2012. And today's topic is titled, I forgot what it was titled. today's topic is titled The Need for Godly Men, Godly Leaders, Godly Guidance. And we, in case you're joining us late, we're joined tonight by Mr. John Beal, who heads up a ministry and a website called bywhatstandard.org, getting back to our biblical roots, our heritage as Christian Americans, and talking about some of the direction that our country's headed, how that applies. So anyway, let's get right back into it. Now, right before the break, we talked about just kind of an overview of how we're looking as a nation, how we look at the church, how we look at law, and look at all of this through a biblical lens. And of course, that sparked the beginning of several projects you're involved in. And probably the most recent and the one you're most directly involved in is bywhatstandard.org. Is that correct?
That is correct. And, you know, there's a question in the book of Psalms that David asked. He said, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? So all of us, those that are listening tonight or this afternoon, all of us know that there's something wrong. We know that the foundations are being shaken. They're being destroyed. We know they're under attack, concentrated effort. The question is, what do we do about it?
Right.
How do we address it? And the purpose of the blog, of course, is to introduce people to classes that I present to the community. One is the Institute on the Constitution. I mentioned that is 6 hours of lecture from Dr. John Eidsmoll. We have about a 260-page notebook that we've put together to go along with that. And another one is called FACS, F-A-C-S, or Fundamentals for American Christians. And therein we address this very question, what can we do about what's occurring? And we first have to identify what's occurring. And, of course, we have to go back and find those foundations, dig them up. We have to identify them, and we have to come to some agreement that this is indeed worth rebuilding. David Barton would refer to rebuilding the walls in Nehemiah.
Right.
Very similar pattern, of course. And so when we get back to the Founding Fathers, we find, first of all, that they were more Christian than we've been told. We have been told that they were deist at best. And we've developed quite a bit on that matter and exposed that as a lie from the revisionist history.
Now, you're talking about the Founding Fathers as being labeled as deists as opposed to Christians.
I'll introduce a quote that very few people have heard from three different historians, two Americans and one German historian, all said the founding father of America was John Calvin, which is very interesting. Whatever you think of Calvin, it's important for us to realize that the founding of America was primarily theological, that it was born of a vision in the hearts of the Pilgrims and a little later the Puritans.
Right.
They came to these shores. They were the theological offspring or seed of John Calvin, and they came here to spread that vision. A city on a hill, if you will. And it was important to them to make that information or to establish that testimony here in the United States. As a matter of fact, let me quote to you a quote I've appreciated over the years that I use often. It's from John Adams. Imagine this. Suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible for their only law book, and every member should, regulate his conduct by the precepts there exhibited. Every member would be obliged in conscience to temperance, frugality, and industry, to justice, kindness, and charity towards his fellow men, and to piety, love, and reverence toward Almighty God. What a utopia, what a paradise would this region be. And then, of course, his cousin, as you recall, in signing the Declaration of Independence in 1776, Sam Adams said, "We have this day restored the sovereign to whom all men ought to be obedient. He reigns in heaven, and from the rising to the setting of the sun, let his kingdom come." So our efforts here are compatible with his kingdom coming. That is, the king's dominion being expressed and exhibited and extended over the United States. And we've concentrated on the Pacific Northwest, of course, and other parts of the country. And some places we're having some success, other places we're having more success.
Yeah,
but nevertheless, that's the vision and the commitment.
And you cover all this in these in your classes, and just for the
all
listeners,
of these in the classes that we provide, we have other classes too about ethics and another class that's quite extensive, designed for home studies, because we're trying to get into the home. We really want to see people again restore the vision of the understanding that government is first and foremost self-government. So I've got to take this and take it to heart and be changed by truth, be liberated, set free by the truth. Then I've got to teach it to my wife and children and my in-laws and my parents and whomsoever. Then I've got to function in a collective body of believers, a church, if you will, and introduce this class. And if I can't do it, if they're not interested, move on. And if I still can't find a place in my community, then start something.
Right.
For God's sake, get on with it and move from self to family, to church, and finally to state. The Puritans believed that a man had to be faithful first and foremost in his personal life, then in his family, then in his church he was qualified to be an elder. And if he passed that test, if he excelled in the church as an overseer, as a shepherd, as one who cared for and loved the flock and managed the finances well and responsibly, then he was qualified for government in the civil sphere. We have it ass backwards.
Yes.
We absolutely do. These people qualify just because of the school they graduate from or their speaking ability or their finances or their heritage, for every other reason than their faithfulness. So consequently, we see somebody like a Bill Clinton who can't control, there are many of them, of course.
Sure.
Who cannot govern himself. He cannot govern his passion.
That's right. And we're not used, we've discarded that as a standard for deciding who our leaders are, or at least our leaders today. But in the future, that's going to change. There's some major changes that are coming to our country. We don't have to instigate anything. They're just destroying it on their own. And, of course, that's what we need to do is be in place to be able to educate people. And, of course, you know, that's what you're doing. And on today's highlights and resources posting for the listeners, you can go to this website and you can see under the classes offered the Truth Project, Institute on the Constitution, God and Government, Fundamentals for American Christians, The Miracle That Changed the World, and of course that covers the 5,000-year leap. Wonderful book. And Doing the Right Thing is the title from another class. Now, how do they get involved in these, and do they have to be living in Spokane, where your ministry's located?
Well, as a matter of fact, John Mackey of Oath Keepers and I are talking about some classes up his way. I'm currently doing some classes up north of here towards Colville, and have done classes in Deer Park and Chatteroy and out of town, but generally I've been in Spokane. But that's a great question. I am willing to go anywhere if somebody will pay my gas. I don't have an income per se, and so, this is all by faith, and it's a privilege and a joy, and the ultimate goal is exactly what you're after, John, leaders. I want to introduce these courses, put the materials in people's hands, run them through a course, and then I want to leave. I want to let them take it from there.
Sure.
They know their community. They know their church. They know their family. Let them teach. We need teachers and presenters everywhere.
Now,
we just have to multiply ourselves quickly.
Okay, one, for example, the Truth Project. It says that it's 12 one-hour lectures and half-hour discussion. Now, do you facilitate each one of those meetings? Is this like once a week for 12 weeks?
I do. And it's real easy. It's an hour lecture series by Dr. Del Tackett, and it's new information for a lot of people. It depends on the crowd you're reaching out to. That would determine the course you choose.
Sure.
But that is a classroom setting with 37 or 39 college-age kids. And Del Tackett is building, his goal with these kids is to build a biblical worldview. So he starts off with truth. What is truth?
Okay.
Then he goes to philosophy, and then he goes to anthropology and sociology and history and law and government and biology, etc. The American experiment, the state. He does a great presentation on the state and starts off with the state being a thief, stealing from us.
Sure.
We don't even pay any attention. Well, that's new to a lot of people, and so... that course may not be designed for somebody that believes they already have a pretty solid biblical worldview, but for if they know a group of young people or maybe the elderly or the people in their church that have never heard these things, it's a beautiful format that they can present by dropping a DVD into a player.
And now do
then
you
have a notebook that goes with it.
Do you also have a setup to be able to work with homeschooling co-ops and things like that?
Yes. I've taught some classes to homeschoolers. I taught classes for 2 years recently out in the Valley, Spokane Valley, to a homeschooling co-op out there. And I raised my grandson, homeschooled he, and I homeschooled his mother when she was a little girl and his aunt when she was a little girl. So we are wholeheartedly committed to homeschooling, and we know you're not going to get any of this information from the public school system.
That's a fact.
It's just so critical that these kids get exposed.
Okay, now we have a ton of listeners that are outside the American Redoubt or even on the other side of the American Redoubt. We're making a trip to Spokane or the North Idaho where it's just not feasible. Is there some type of venue, some type of outlet for folks across the country or troops stationed in Afghanistan or listeners in Germany, all around the world that want to educate themselves on this stuff? Do you have a resource available for them, or do you have something planned?
Yeah, you could find the facts notes, which I recommend very highly, FACS. Those notes or that notebook is available through the Plymouth Rock Foundation. Again, that's PLYM, Plym Rock, R-O-C-K, .org. And you could find the IOTC online.com. That is, they provide the lectures on the Institute on the Constitution. They've done a different one than EIDSMO. They've done one by Michael Peruta, who ran two times for the presidential, ran a presidential campaign for the Constitution Party.
Okay.
Before Chuck Baldwin. Chuck was the last two, and Michael Peruta was just before him. And Michael's put, his law firm back in Baltimore has put together an Institute on the Constitution, which is based on the EIDSMO notes. That's very good. You can purchase that through them. The one on ethics, what did I title that? You just read it off. Was that, I forgot the title all of a sudden.
Doing the Right Thing?
Pardon?
Doing the Right Thing.
That's Chuck Colson's organization.
Oh, yeah.
And so they just go online for Chuck Colson. They'll find that.
Well, let me ask you. Let me ask you this.
These others are mine.
Okay, good. So the rest of these are your material.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think is if you could put it in one sentence? What do you think would restore America, and do you think it can be restored?
Well, I think let me back up. You remember the parable where Jesus talks about which one of you, when you're building a tower, you know, intending to build a tower, you know, sit down and first count the cost.
Calculate the cost.
Finish it.
Yep.
And then he says somebody else is going to war with 10,000 and they're coming up against their opponent who's got 20,000. In other words, sit down and count the cost.
Sure.
So I think everybody needs to do just that, sit down and count the cost. And that entails a number of things. And then secondly, they need to be equipped with the necessary weaponry. This is a spiritual battle. And if we don't understand that, we'll keep flailing away as though it's physical or geographical or political or monetary or economic or something. We don't understand that it's a spiritual conflict.
Right.
And we don't understand our inheritance. So I liken it unto David being offered Saul's armor to fight Goliath, and David, it didn't fit, and David couldn't wear it. All he needed was to be clothed in the name of Jehovah and a stone. But he knew exactly where to place that stone.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew exactly what was rightfully Israel's. He said, is there not a cause? I mean, why are you shaking here? You're the armies of God. Why are you frightened of this uncircumcised Philistine? So we need to discern where to place that rock or stone, which is the gospel, of course.
Right.
And that's in the mind, and it's in the heart, obviously, of people. The two are connected. So we need to be properly equipped. And one of the reasons I use these materials is because they're so easy to use. Most people are intimidated. I mean, how many out of 100 people are going to go out and teach the Constitution? Not many.
Right.
But if you hand them a set of DVDs with a skilled scholar and Christian brother like John EIDSMO or Michael Peruta, and say, just put it in the machine and sit down, listen.
So what you're saying then is that you believe it is a revival that is what's required to repair our country.
Well, a revival and more. The pattern would be our forgotten founding father, who is George Whitefield. And, I believe that the War for Independence, of course, was the consequence of the preaching from the Black-Robed Regiment, as referred to by David Barton and others.
Yeah.
Which was so feared by the Parliament, British Parliament. And that's why I am hosting John Weaver here in Spokane and north of here, because he's been preaching for 47 years, and he comes from Georgia, and he has a very, very clear understanding of the Christian civil responsibility from history, from law, from the Old Testament. He opens the Old Testament like no preacher I've ever heard. And we simply have to sow a lot of seed so that when the Holy Spirit pours out in rain, if you will, the rain we've been praying for, that would be revival.
Right.
And the ground is pregnant with seed. And we have a harvest that exceeds our wildest expectations. Now, this seed, according to Matthew, Luke, and Mark, is either 30-fold or 60-fold or 100-fold. I mean, it has to be seed that is good seed in good soil and will bring forth a 100-fold or a fully matured Christian for the Lord to harvest.
Right.
And John Weaver is one of the only ones I know that is capable of doing that. From his preaching, he leaves no room for cowardice or conformity or compromise or capitulation.
Good. I hope to cover that, too, when he comes and speaks. And we'll talk about that. Yeah, when he comes to speak, I want to cover that and hopefully be able to do an interview with him as well, get his perspective. And well, before we'll talk about him in just a second here. I just want to ask you one question, though. Seeing that so far our country appears to be rejecting any kind of a revival, if this trend continues, do you see that we could be forced into fighting for Americanism once again, like the founders did?
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. We're going to be fighting for something, and it better be the right thing.
Yeah.
As to rejecting revival, my eyes have always been on three things. One is the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed known to man.
Yeah.
And yet Jesus said, when that is sown, it will eventually fill the whole garden, which, of course, typifies the earth. And the seed is the gospel. Two is the leaven that the woman was given, the leaven that she inserts into the lump of dough, and eventually that is transformed into something that looks entirely differently, and it fills the whole lump, so it spreads and eventually takes over. The third is the stone that Daniel saw was cut out of a mountain. That stone crushed the idols in history. It was a small stone.
Right.
And again, I reference to David's stone. So I'm not the least bit discouraged. I think we're in fantastic times, exceptional times.
Yeah.
To lift up the standard. Do you remember Washington at the beginning of the convention? George Washington, he said, if to please the people, we offer what we ourselves disapprove, how shall we later defend our work? Rather, let us raise a standard to which the wise and honest can rally. The event is in the hand of God.
That's right.
So you and I need to raise a standard. We have no option. We have a compelling commandment to go ye therefore and bring the nations into discipleship under the discipline of God's whole counsel. And we start with ourselves.
Yeah. Well, that's really good stuff. I got distracted here. I forgot I was doing a radio show. I was just sitting here just listening away. we have to get this wrapped up, but I wanted to also talk about the gentleman that will be coming to speak. You mentioned him just a few moments ago, Pastor John Weaver. He is going to be speaking, and you are going to be introducing him at these events, correct?
I am.
Okay.
We are going to have him on I believe it's the 25th. Let me get around to a calendar here. It's Tuesday. No, I think that's the 26th, isn't it? That's
I have, right. Yep, September 25th. Two 25th. Events on that
Tuesday
day.
Morning, Tuesday evening, Wednesday morning, Wednesday evening, Thursday up in Colville. And we've got a great Christian patriot couple that some of you may know, Barry and Ann Bird, and their group is called Legacy, and they are exceptional. They're going to be singing for us.
Oh, good.
And that's up at the Ag Center in Colville. That'll be from, the doors will open at 6 and probably shut down about 10 o'clock, but the meeting will actually be 7 to 9. All these meetings will be a free will offering. We believe that if people like the product, they'll buy it. If they don't, they shouldn't be charged for it.
Good.
So it's free will. and we trust people will take care of us. So we leave that to them, let them judge. The other meeting's Tuesday night is on the border by Post Falls, Idaho, and that's actually in Newman Lake. That's Tuesday night. Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, and Wednesday night are all at Turning Point Open Bible Church on North Division.
Okay.
There'll be plenty of time for questions and answers and discussion. We're gonna get some men together that really have an ear to hear and really want to do something. We're going to have some strategy sessions.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about some hard things. For instance, in our state of Washington, how do we do anything about Seattle or King County, for that matter?
Yeah, there is a major demographic wedge driven right down that mountain range that divides.
Yep.
That's why Eastern Washington and Oregon are included in the American Redoubt, because there's some God-fearing patriots there, and we include those. There's some great leadership over there as well.
Yeah.
And so we don't want to leave them out in the dark. They're definitely part of this. Just to recap for the listeners, those dates are September 25th, two events on that day, September 26th and September 27th. September 26th, there's two events as well. And of course, I posted that on the highlights and resources posting, and you can go and click on the PDF flyer that's also attached to the highlights and resources posting under Pastor John Weaver. Just click on the PDF file under there. That'll open it right up. There's a photo of him. There's highlights from the speaking engagement, the topics he'll be covering, along with the dates, locations, including the addresses and times and everything for everyone to be able to listen to. And also, now, how can folks listen to some more of his teachings? Is there a format?
You can go online to sermonaudio.com, sermonaudio.com, and just click on speakers, and then when that opens the box, just type in John Weaver. And click it, and it'll go to his site. He has about 400 sermons in there. They're free. And just listen up. John goes for generally anywhere from 50 to 60 minutes. And I guarantee you, you will be thrilled with his message. There are an awful lot there for you to choose from, very specific. He will be probably speaking quite a bit out of his series on the Christian and civil government.
Okay.
And he has a book by that title, and he has two other books. One is called The Sovereignty of God and Civil Government, The Christian and Sovereignty of God, which is very strong, and one more on God's vengeance and how he disciplines nations.
Ouch.
So, yeah, that's very revealing, because that kind of thing gives us a great deal of hope, because if we're trying to find energy or encouragement or inspiration from the newspaper, from the media, even from the churches, yes, we're going to feel hopeless. We're going to feel nothing but despair.
Yes.
But if we look to the Lord and we have a clear understanding of history and how he moves and works and how he implements and how he performs his will through both his enemies and his righteous servants, then we begin to relax our grip a little bit and realize, this is going to take a while.
That's right.
And even if I don't see it in my generation, at least I can sow some seeds for the next generation. I mean, I should be as compassionate and concerned about my grandchildren as I am about my own life, that's for sure.
That's because that's what the enemy's after. We're pretty locked solid in what we believe in. He's not going to get us. He's after them. And they're setting everything up. All the dominoes are being set up right now to take down the next generation and the one after that. So if any of you, I'm going to post that sermonaudio.com link so you can go straight to Pastor John Weaver's. You can get an example, some samples of his audios, listen to all of his previous podcasts, and some of the topics that he's going to be covering when he comes to the American Redoubt. He'll be in Spokane on those dates that we mentioned. He's a hardcore patriot, cut from the same cloth as the Black Robe Regiment clergy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so we will be getting all those resources uploaded so everyone can look at those. But we got to cut it short. It's been such a pleasure having you with us. The time has flown, and we're just going to have to schedule and do it again sometime.
Amen. Thank you, John.
All right. Okay, thanks a lot. All right, all of you, stick around out there. You're listening to Radio Free Redoubt. We will be right back. Don't go away.
Have you been searching for a time-proven way to protect your valuables and your loved ones? Rainy Day Root Cellars has the solution. Whether you need safe shelter from a storm, secure protection for your belongings, or a perfect place for your food storage, Rainy Day Root Cellars provides you and your family with the ultimate in discreet and secure protection. Visit them today at www.rainydayrootcellars.com. Rainy Day Root Cellars, security you can count on.
If you are a God-fearing patriot and love liberty and the spirit of America, you may be feeling like a foreigner in your own country. If that sounds like you, then the American Redoubt might be the right move for you. The momentum is building, and many families are taking refuge among like-minded patriots all across the inland Pacific Northwest. If you are considering joining the hundreds of families that are moving to higher ground, then check out the resources located at www.radiofreeredoubt.blogspot.com and click on the tab labeled Relocate. We're adding more resources all the time. And by the way, if you are a real estate relocation specialist and would like to be added as a resource at Radio Free Redoubt, then contact us at radiofreeredoubt@gmail.com. and type relocation specialist in the subject line. We'd especially like to hear from you if you specialize in relocating businesses into your community.
Are you a licensed ham operator? If so, the American Redoubt Movement needs your help. To support the mission of keeping the American Redoubt connected in a Teotihuacan situation, Radio Free Redoubt is working on a project to build a network of patriotic amateur radio operators who consider themselves redoubters. Your skills will be critical in rebuilding and advancing the American Redoubt Movement after Teotihuacan. Please email us at radiofreeredoubt@gmail.com to find out how you can partner with Radio Free Redoubt in this critical and time-sensitive project. Your input and ideas are greatly appreciated. Thank you, ham operators, for what you do.
All right, we're back from just a quick break, and we're going to try to get this wrapped up. And I just wanted to throw a couple announcements out there, touch on a couple things. First of all, you guys probably noticed that yesterday I posted a posting on homemade jelly and jam download. Now, that's kind of out of the normal parameters of the type of postings that we usually put up there and pass along material that we found from other blogs and websites we think would be useful to our listening audience and try to guide you to some of the other resources that we have. But there was one that was sent to me by a listener. It was a link to hillbillyhousewife.com. And this gal put together a jelly and jam recipe that's free to download on your Kindle. And of course, Kindle is free to download too. So you can go to amazon.com, click on the free download until September 3rd. So tomorrow's the deadline. After tomorrow, it'll cost a whopping $2.99, so $3 for this download with all these recipes. And since we promote the self-sufficient preparedness kind of lifestyle, we thought this would go well with it. And what I just thought was cool was just this average, everyday lady put this together, put her site together called The Hillbilly Housewife. I've heard about her before, and she's got just amazing recipes, kind of like, you know, Enola Gay does. But she just asked for people's help to get this out. And you know what? I think it'd be awesome if we just blew her socks off and hit her website and just had a huge showing and support her by downloading this book. Support yourself. Support your own self-sufficiency. And take advantage of this opportunity. So anyway, let's see what else we got here. Spokane Sustainable Preparedness Expo coming up on September 30th. Of course, there's a ton of stuff going on this month. With all the training seminars and everything else that we've talked about in the last couple of segments. But don't forget, you can win a Kato AM/FM shortwave single sideband radio. That will be given away at the Sustainable Preparedness Expo in Spokane at the Convention Center. We're going to talk about how to do that a little bit more. I also attached a video from the expo, from previous expos, that you can look at and see a little bit about what you're in for there. Don't forget, the Capitalist Papers has a new website. Go check that out, capitalistpapers.com. And one other thing for our little small farm folks, the second annual Inland Northwest Small Farm Conference is opened up now for registration. And that's going to be taking place Friday through Saturday, September 28th through the 29th. That was also sent in by a listener. That will be at the Spokane Interstate Fair and Expo Center. And, of course, the link is also there for you to click on if you are interested in learning more. Also, if you haven't gotten a chance to, go see 2016 Obama's America. We put the trailer there. It's in theaters now. You can watch the trailer right there on the Highlights and Resources posting. And I think it is something that every voter should be seeing. And I've not gotten a chance to go see it. I'm making a point to go see it this week. And so I'm looking forward to that. I'm trying to do a little bit of a review on that next week. Anyway, thanks so much for listening. Thanks for being with us. Thank you for your hearts, for loving liberty so much, for being aware and paying attention to what's going on to our country and taking action and trying to protect that next generation and our own generation from what the enemies of freedom and God and Americanism are trying to accomplish. Please don't forget to support our sponsors. Go check them out. Check out their websites. And Omaha Knives, CampingSurvival.com, Rainy Day Root Cellars, and of course many more as well. Go check those guys out. You guys have a blessed week. And may the Lord bless everything you put your hand to. Stick around, because right afterward, we're going to be playing another episode of Cloak and Dagger, the World War II stories of OSS agents behind the lines. And then right after that, we're going to re-air the show that you just listened to in case you missed any of it. And then we're going to be working on next week's show. We've got a lot of good stuff coming up. So definitely don't go too far away. Keep checking back on the website. We're going to be posting a lot of material that could be useful to you or your loved ones. Don't forget to pass the word about the American Redoubt movement and sharing share Radio Free Redoubt with your friends, like-minded family members. And just God bless you guys as you make your moves to the American Redoubt and other redoubts that are emerging. That's a secret. Can't talk about that right now. But more in the coming months and weeks on that. Anyway, you've been listening to John Jacob Schmidt. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt. Good night.